Hey everyone, Pastor Josh here. Welcome to our Stronger Marriage podcast, where my wife Sharon and I answer questions sent in from our listener. Today's episode of Stronger Marriage podcast, a little different, super special. It's a follow-up to the sermon I gave on the law of her power relating to the woman's role of helper. I wasn't able to get to the end of my sermon that had my wife's acronym with her six special tips for how to practically work out the role of helper for wives. Had to cut it out of the sermon, ran out of time, decided to put it in a special episode here today. So she's joining me in studio. We had a ton of fun, pollen, allergies, stuffed nose and all. Can't wait for you to check out what my wife has to say about practical tips of how to be a rock star, God-empowered helper to your husband. That's coming up next on this episode of the Stronger Marriage Podcast. Here's what I think we should do. Before we get into the acronym that you put together for helper.
Yes.
That gets into very practical ways a wife can be a helper. I think I should review quickly the sermon we're referencing. Because if you're listening, I preached a sermon on the law of her power. Is the name, the title of that sermon if you want to go watch it or listen to it. Free resource there on Stronger Man Nation. And then I didn't get the end of the sermon, and you were going to come up and end the sermon with the best part, and I didn't manage my time well, and ran out of time.
So it's okay.
We're doing this as a makeup podcast to get that last most important piece in, but I want to make sure the foundation's in place for anyone who's listening and didn't hear the sermon. So I want to see if I can recap that sermon. You should go listen to it if you want. But recap that sermon as quickly as I can in 2 minutes to give us then the, let's be honest, probably 3 minutes.
Okay.
To give us a foundation in for what we're going to talk about today. So I laid the theological foundation and framework for the wife's role as helper. The husband's role is head, and he expresses that through loving his wife, and that love expresses itself in leadership, sacrificial leadership. Mm-hmm. The wife has been given the role of helper from Genesis chapter 2, this extraordinary, competent, noble, dignified role of helper. And she expresses that through a distinct kind of power-filled submission to her husband that changes him and influences him. And she does that primarily with respect. And so that's kind of the framework. So let me walk through this. If you're new, we're framing this conversation with the word power. So God gives men unique and distinct power in their masculinity and women unique and distinct power in their femininity. And if you're wondering why I sound like this, it's because it's allergies and went at you right now. And so I sound like Forrest Gump, Rodney, do you eat some shrimp? So I'm going to try not to blow my nose in the microphone and we'll continue powering on.
Yeah, no.
So God gives men and women unique and distinct power that they can exercise to exert influence in the marriage for the marriage's good.
Yes.
That power can be wielded for good or can be wielded for evil. So that's the premise we're working on. God's given the woman remarkable power and strength in her mind, intellectual capacity, relational capacity, sexual capacity.
Yep.
And she can wield that in the life of her husband to influence him for good, or she can hold it over his head to control him or abuse him. And the same with the husband toward the wife. So because there's so much misunderstanding, we've gotten a zillion questions. Of course, the internet loses its mind whenever you talk about something like this, which is super fun to watch. But it doesn't change the fact that when men and women ignore God's design, you're going to fly the plane into the mountain.
Yeah.
And so you can't violate this law of head and helper. It's not a matter of if the wife will be a helper. It's only a matter of if she'll be a good one or a poor one. Mm-hmm. And if she's going to reject that role, then she's being a poor one. And she can try doing it other ways. It's not going to result in the flourishing of the marriage.
Yeah.
And divorced women love to argue with me on this. And I'm like, well, what do I tell you?
Yeah.
It's like define the law of gravity and then arguing with me on the side of the mountain you crash your plane into that gravity doesn't exist. It's like, well, I think the evidence of your past is proving maybe the point that you're trying to argue against.
Right.
So here's a quick review. The power defined is that God made mankind in his image with power to create, protect, help, serve, defend, provide, nurture, teach, forgive, redeem, and love deeply.
Yep.
So God's given humans a unique capacity, a godlike capacity to do these kind of things that orcas and dolphins and turtles and fireflies can't do. The law of power defined then in relationship to our conversation here with marriage. I feel like my voice is so annoying.
No, it's okay.
You're smiling at me. For those who are not watching
I'm
the
smiling
video,
at you because I love you.
My wife is smirking at me.
It's not.
The law of power defined is that God gives husbands and wives unique power in their masculinity and femininity to exercise for the good of the marriage. So then we talk through the foolish marriage waste this power neglectfully. They just they just don't use it. The abusive marriage perverts this power destructively.
Yep.
They wield it against the other. The stronger marriage wields this power wisely. That's what we're after today. So if there are men and women who are listening who are like stubborn or are arguing with the Bible in their head, the invitation would be take a deep breath. Consider the fact that you might possibly that you might not possibly know everything there is to know in the world, that there might be something that you could learn from the Bible and from Jesus, the one who made you, and just prayerfully consider, humbly consider what we're going to say with your spouse together, and then try applying it. So the law of her power is defined as follows. The wife exercises her God-given femininity.
It doesn't sound that bad.
It doesn't? No. It sounds like it sounds bad.
Normally it's worse in your ears.
Robust voice.
Yes.
Now I feel like I'm talking through my nose. The wife exercises her God-given feminine power to respect her husband so that he grows stronger because of her wise help.
Yep.
And then I said that this is the helper's holy calling, sacred privilege, weighty responsibility.
Yeah, I love that.
Holy calling because it's been assigned from heaven. It's not an opinion of earth. Sacred privilege is because it shouldn't be seen as a burden or obligation.
Yes.
This is a privilege. And then weighty responsibility, the bullets are real. And there are consequences to whether or not you live it out. And what I tell women is, I want to reiterate for you that God looked at Adam pre-fall paradise.
Yes.
In perfection and said, not good.
Right.
Meaning man is inherently incomplete without the woman. And so there's a great sense of dignity to the role God's given women in completing a man who is incomplete without her. And so there's a weighty responsibility to that. And this just lights the internet on fire. I'll try to say it again as clearly as I can. But what I'll tell husbands and wives is husbands have the responsibility to lead as the head and love sacrificially as the head. And wives have the responsibility of helping him do that with a submissive inner strength, you know, inner beauty, quiet strength, and a respectful attitude. And when marriages fail, we look to the husband because he's the head and primarily responsible.
Right.
And rightfully so.
Yes.
We lean on the men. We call on the men to step into their role as head and to disciple and lead and love and serve their wives. Yes, yes, and amen. And to give the wife the same dignity of responsibility, she should consider whether or not her husband has been struggling to do his job because maybe she's been failing to do hers. That maybe he's struggling to lead as head because she's been struggling to help as his helpmate.
Yeah.
And so, of course, he's struggling because maybe she's not helping. Now, many wives hear that and go, oh, I'm trying and he's not.
Right.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. But I always encourage couples to start with self-examination and self-reflection.
Yeah.
Because a part of the curse is the first place we look for problems is across the table.
Yeah.
This is your fault.
Yeah.
And if we start there, we won't get anywhere very quickly.
Yeah.
So the first place is for both husband and wife to stop, get a mirror and go, I'm open to considering the possibility that what I'm seeing in this picture might be where I should start in solving the biggest problems.
Yeah. We talked about that at the conference. We talked about, are you a helper or a hinderer?
Yeah.
That was our wording for the women.
Yeah,
to just good. As you're looking at the mirror of your own life.
That's good.
Because you're either helping or you're hindering. You're doing one or the other.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. Might be a good barometer for gals to pay attention to. We have a chart about it on our website, our resource page. And it's just scripture to walk through. Are you a helper or a hinderer? Just a question came to mind when you were talking.
Cool. Where is that again?
That's on our, well, just our regular, go to the website, go to women.
GracieChurch.com?
Yeah, GracieChurch.com, and go to our Noble Women section. And then okay. you go to resources, and under okay. resources with our conference, there's a chart in there. It's a great, great resource, partially from Biblical Womanhood 101 by Nancy Wilgemuth.
Okay.
And then I filled out the other half of what it looks like to be a hinderer. And okay. then there's scripture there. So for gals that are listening, like practically, you want a little test for yourself.
Yep.
Like, am I helping or am I hindering?
Yep.
It's a great spot to check out.
Super good.
Yeah.
Super good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So here's the key text, and then we'll get to, we'll finish the review here. I think our 2 minutes is almost up.
Close. You're just right there.
So three things I gave the wife's sacred calling is completion. Mm-hmm. That's from Genesis 2. The Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make for him a helper
yes.
suitable for his needs. Mm-hmm. So that's the wife's sacred calling, one of completion. Mm-hmm. That's what tov means. It means complete. I mean, integer, whole.
Yep.
Wholly capable of completing its designed purpose.
Yes, made
for good. Mm-hmm. When God looked at Adam, he isn't able to complete the purpose I gave him. So there's that. The wife's specific focus is that of respect.
Yes.
We looked at the wife must respect her husband from Ephesians. So
yes.
the sacred calling is completion. The specific focus is respect.
Yes.
And then the wife's secret weapon is inner beauty and quiet strength mm-hmm. from 1 Peter 3. Mm-hmm. Those three things right there, I kind of cruised through in the sermon, but man, the sacred calling, completion,
yeah.
the specific focus, respect, the secret weapon, inner beauty and quiet strength, woo, that's some good stuff for a wife to press into.
Yes.
So then I went through 10 things that biblical submission is not. Just to ring the bell again here, we had a great talk in our city group about it last
yes,
night.
Yes, we did.
A wife being her husband's helper and exercising that submissive, respectful helper role is not all women submitting to all men in general.
Yep.
It's a unique relationship she has with her husband. Mm-hmm. It's not a wife stops thinking for herself. We know that because Paul and Peter both address the wife as intellectual equals by speaking to them about God's expectations for them. Mm-hmm. It's not mechanical, blind, or cookie-cutter obedience, meaning it's going to look different for each marriage. It's not a cultural thing. Paul wasn't making a concession culturally here. He was flying in the face of the culture, as the Bible always does. It's not putting husbands in the place of Christ. No, she still needs her own relationship with Jesus, as Peter notes, because he's writing to a couple, and the husband is the lunkhead, Dingleberry, who hasn't figured out that Jesus is king. The wife already has, so she's ahead of him in many ways.
Right.
And then she's using her God-designed role to bring him to the Lord, too.
Yeah.
It's not, the role isn't based on competence, intelligence, or skill. So it's not two individuals saying, okay, which one of us is more competent? Okay, you be the head. Which is less competent? You be the helper.
Right.
No, in many ways, you need the helper to be competent and skillful in ways that you're not. So you are wildly more skillful than me in so many ways, and you are more intelligent. That's why we don't play word games anymore, because you have a bigger vocabulary than I do.
I think that's switched. I think you've caught me. Maybe.
I don't think so.
Well,
people don't know you were a nurse for 13 years, and you have like triple major and a master's
degree. Maybe medical words I maybe knew a little better than you.
And you have like this Latin vocabulary, and then you've been teaching our kids Latin, and so no, you crush me with words. But
I received that.
Yeah, I think you should.
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
You have a unique set of skills.
Thank you.
that I don't have.
This is true.
In so many
ways. And vice versa.
Yes. We'll get to that in this sex talk.
Great.
Submission isn't a matter of personality.
Right.
So it's not like, well, I'm quiet, so I'll be the submissive one.
Right.
Or I'm extroverted, so I can't submit. No, it has nothing to do.
Yep.
We know many professional, competent, extroverted, verbose women who have an inner beauty and quiet spirit and love submitting to their husbands.
Yeah.
It's not enabling your husband's sin. Hugely important.
Yeah.
This isn't going along with his idiocy or his foolishness or his sin.
Right.
No. One of the ways you help, see, if you go along with your husband's sin, are you helping him?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. So this is a radical example. I had a couple of years ago come in my office and she's like, I feel dirty. And I'm like, why? She's like, because my husband wants to watch pornography together and then reenact what they're doing on the screen.
No good.
And I looked at him and I was like, what the beep are you thinking? And he's like, whoa. And, you know, and so, my gosh, it's just a wonder I haven't buried more bodies. I was like, bro.
What
a horrifically perverse and dirty thing to drag your wife through.
Right.
To bring that kind of garbage into the marriage bed that God's word says is to be maintained with purity.
Yeah.
And so the wife was actually trying to help him. He wasn't receiving it. And then she, because she had a perverted or an undeveloped view of submission, thought she was, well, I should just go along with it. It was like, and so I was able to say, no.
That's not helping.
One of your jobs as helper
is to
throw the, you know, the ice pick out as you're sliding. I don't know. I'm
down
not
an ice cliff.
I'm not a mountaineer.
Okay. I was trying to follow. I instantly thought
I can't fall through
on
this analogy. I don't know enough. But let's say you're on the side of a mountain.
Yes.
And your husband slips and he's falling into a crevasse.
Okay, good. I'm there with you. I can see it.
Not a crevice.
Okay.
A crevasse.
Okay.
I've read it into thin air. John there you Krakauer. Go.
Yeah.
Have you?
It sounds.
I didn't think so.
No, I haven't.
He's sliding down into a crevasse and he's like, death slide, right?
Right.
And boom, the rope pulls her. She needs to throw
the ice picky anchor thing.
Yeah, the ice pick anchor thing out and like dig in.
Yeah.
And she might keep him from like a cold, dark, dank
death.
Death.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I told a wife the other day, I was like, you can't obey Jesus by submitting to Satan.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You can't obey Jesus and Satan at the same time. And if your husband is acting like a son of Satan, then it's your job to lovingly, graciously, and increasingly resist him as his helper.
Mm-hmm.
Because following your husband into sin or even putting up with it is not helping.
That's right.
Submitting is not for weak, limpers to passive, inactive women. My gosh.
That's right.
Being a helper is a very active role.
Yes.
And then I said being a helper isn't your get out of jail free card.
Right.
To hang all the responsibility of the health of the marriage on your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked through all of the texts that infuse helper with dignity. And let me read this quickly.
Yeah.
Exodus 18, my father God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. That's speaking of God the Father.
Right.
Deuteronomy 33, blessed are you Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper, your glorious mighty sword. Mm-hmm. Your enemies will cower before you and you will tread on their heights. If you want the enemies of your marriage to be thrown down,
that's right.
You step into this godlike role of helper. Yeah. Psalm 10, but you, O God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you, for you are the helper of the fatherless. Psalm 27:9. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You, O God, have been my helper, my savior. Psalm 118:7, the Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look triumphantly over my enemies.
Yep.
Hosea 13:9, you are destroyed, Israel, because you are against me, against your helper. You want to destroy your marriage, husbands? Mm. Ignore your helper. Mm. Go against your helper. Belittle your helper.
Yeah.
We were talking in our city group last night. The question I asked the guys, how many times in your marriage have you asked your wife, what am I doing to make your job as helper harder?
Yep. Great question.
And like, I don't think any of them had ever asked it before.
Mm-hmm.
Not in that way.
Right.
It's like, it's such a simple question. It's coming from a place of humility and godliness. And so like, there's might be worth a podcast right there. Husbands, write this down. I'm going to quarterly ask my wife, what am I doing to hinder your ability to help me and to help us?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer was, I hinder you often by being defensive.
Mm.
You attempt to help. Well, and I get all puffed up. Then you're like, that didn't go over well. And then the next time you go to help me, you're like, it's not going to go well. I won't do it this time.
Yeah.
And so I've had to realize, like, if I don't respond well to you trying to help me, not only am I missing out on the wisdom you may have to get put in my life in that moment, I might be short-circuiting moments in the future when I'm going to need your help and you decide not to say anything because I mean a dingleberry.
Right.
Which is the second time I've used that word in this podcast.
Dingleberry, so I feel like that's the theme.
I feel like
for
that
the
might
day.
Be the theme word here.
Mm-hmm.
How about lastly, Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?
Mm-hmm.
So there's just, God has infused this role of helper with a profound sense of dignity by saying, this is a title I give myself.
Yeah.
It's a title of strength and power.
Yeah. That's why with Noble Women, we put helper identity with the role of warrior.
Oh.
I mean, that's why they go together. Uh-huh. So for the gals, that's the combo.
What are the four roles again?
Well, we have, you went together with the role and identity. How are we doing over there?
Well,
you okay?
First time.
Okay, good job.
It's a protein smoothie.
Awesome.
I haven't eaten all day. My nose is plugged.
The roles and identities for the noble women, which they can find this on our website and all of our talks, is the helper, which we combine with warrior. Because we feel like those go together. And that's one of the ways you actually live out being a helper, because it's a war. And so we talk about that extensively.
Ooh, I like that.
All the language you use, all the texts that you just use to describe how the Lord is our helper, a lot of them are like military language. They're like warlike language. And it's that doesn't sound like a wussy calling to me.
No.
That sounds pretty awesome. I'm all for that as a fairly competitive person.
You are competitive.
Yes.
This one, as you're talking, it's interesting. One of the counterfeit lies of the enemy is he makes women think that to be helper is to be limp-wristed,
that's
weak.
Right.
When it's just the opposite.
Absolutely.
It's this warrior-like call to strength.
Mm-hmm.
And what a tragedy that in the name of being a helper, women would lay down their sword.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay, that's so helper point, helper and warrior is the first one.
Yep.
The next one is the teacher, who's a maker.
Yep.
We talk about that.
Okay.
The next one is a gardener, who's a nurturer. Ooh. And the last one is a daughter, who's a lover. So
good.
You can check those out. We want more, but I love the
four
combo.
Pillar roles and callings of a noble woman.
Of a noble woman.
That you've identified on your team. Really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kay.
So lastly here then, the biblical helpmateship is what it is. It's the divine calling of a wife to respect, affirm, and support her husband's leadership.
Yes.
That was the definition. And this is three things. I think I got this from Piper or Grudem. I can't remember. If so, thanks to those men. If not, I don't know where I got it. Maybe I just made it up. Her heart's desire is to use her skill to help her husband's leadership succeed.
Yes.
The inclination of her will is to say yes to his leadership. Mm-hmm. And her disposition is one of receiving, supporting, and encouraging his initiative. So those are three really important dimensions or facets to this role of helper. It's not a one-dimensional, flat, boring, cardboard cutout. No, it's three-dimensional. It has nuance and layers and colors and textures. And it's made up of her heart's desire. It's made up of the inclination of her will. And it's made up of her general disposition.
Yes.
And that's super helpful.
Yeah.
Her heart's desire is, I want to help my husband succeed. Because if he succeeds, we succeed.
Yes.
The inclination of her will is, I want to say yes to your leadership. So I want to help your leadership become that which I can say yes to more often.
Yes.
Like I told our husbands, it's like, or what did you say about my leadership last night?
It was so good.
Yeah.
In our city group last night? Oh, I said, you've always been easy to follow because I can trust you.
Yes.
So the amount of trust that you've poured into our relationship for 23 years makes my ability to follow you as the head of our home that much easier.
Yes.
That's what I talked about last night.
And what made me think of a goal for a stronger man who's married is your goal should be that you marry a strong, competent woman.
Yes.
And or you're discipling her toward that if you're married, and you want to make it a delight.
Yes.
To submit to your leadership and a delight to follow your leadership.
Yes.
And so if that's not the case, then that's on you.
Yeah.
And so husbands, there's your goal. There's your target. I want to make it as easy for my wife to follow as possible, which means you got to be a trustworthy man.
That's right.
If you're not trustworthy, she's going to have
issues following.
Issues, absolutely. So
it's going to be harder.
Desire of the heart, inclination of the will, and the disposition. So I've always experienced you are a triple major, master degree, whatever, nurse, qualified nurse.
No master's degree, just for the clarification.
What did you get?
No.
Oh, the nurse's.
My bachelor's in
nursing. The bachelor's in nursing.
Not a master's.
So 4 degrees.
Just honor all those who do actually have a master's in nursing.
Medical oncology, top drawer nurse for 10, 12, 13 years, whatever it is. A competent woman in her own right, athlete, coach, nurse, mom, wife. And the inclination of your disposition is you want to receive and encourage my leadership.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, women, when you demonstrate that kind of competency and look to your husband and smile and expect him to lead, it makes us go, I got to step up. Because when a competent woman's like your call, it's like, whoa, I got to figure this out. I need to read some more, and I need to grow some more, and I need to seek some more counsel, and I need to ask what she thinks. And
so that's good.
Part of a woman's privilege is to make her husband better by her own competency.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
That's good.
So that brings us to date. That was two and a half.
Nailed it.
2.5 minutes. we don't want to be inaccurate.
Hey everybody, Pastor Josh here. Wanted to let you know about a couple cool things we got going on here at Stronger Man Nation for our listening audience. The first is a devotional resource my wife and I wrote called 30 Days to a Stronger Marriage. You can go to StrongerManNation.com to get that free resource that we would love to send to you and get in your hands. The second is a giveaway experience we want to give to a father and son, an all-expense-paid weekend. That's right. We want to bring you and your boy to our Stronger Man Nation conference this Father's Day, June 14th and 15th. No matter where you live or listen from, we'll pay for your plane tickets or train tickets or boat tickets or whatever it takes to get you here. And we'll stick you up in a hotel. We'll make sure you get great front row seats at the conference, throw in an outstanding swag bag of Stronger Man Nation swag, and even get you a backstage pass to meet some of our incredible speakers. Go to StrongerManNation.com to sign up to enter to win this free giveaway, and we'll see you there.
Okay.
So let's go to then, you put together an
a little acronym.
A little acronym.
While back.
A little helper acronym.
For helper. Helper specifically in this role, in this relationship of marriage, right? So when we talk at the conference, just to be clear, when girls are going to listen to that, we talk about every woman.
What conference again?
The conference from last year, our MADE conference, 2023, our Noble Women conference. Okay. And just so everybody knows, we talked about these roles for each woman. God designed every woman to walk in these roles. How's that smoothie?
Well,
is that working for you? Do you want us to just, I'm sure everybody wants to hear you slurp your straw.
I'll slurp offline.
Okay.
You talk.
Perfect. I just wanted to make sure everybody's clear that all four of these roles, these four roles and then four identities are for every woman. We feel like every woman is designed this way specifically. And now this, what we're going to talk about today is how you live this out in this relationship of marriage.
Okay.
But I believe God is intrinsically designed women as helpers and warriors, no matter what relationships they are in. Does that make sense? So just so girls aren't listening going, oh yeah, conference, whatever, that was just for married women. It wasn't.
Okay.
It was for all women, no matter what stage of life.
So just to clarify, there is a unique kind of helper role that wives exercise toward their husband in submission.
Absolutely.
That single ladies don't have.
That's
just clarify that.
That's right.
But what I'm hearing you say is there's a kind of disposition and posture a woman can bring to the world.
That's right.
In her role as helper in general.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. That's good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we did. We came up with this acronym. You say me. We kind of came up with this together. Acronym HELPER, H-E-L-P-E-R, spelling. Yay, spelling. Yeah. And so the first one is...
This is going to be so good because this is practical. So what we did was theology and philosophy.
Well, some of it
and
is...
framework on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the practical. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is how you help me.
Okay.
As a godly, capable, competent, 100% to the bone marrow, whoa man.
Your dad's
Your woman.
Joke. Thank you. Yes.
So.
Yeah. So number one, because this comes from the text actually that we talked about, which is my favorite. And the first for H is hopes in God.
I think you should just read through your sermon notes.
Yes. So this is the first one, which comes from 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6.
So
which
H
we'll
is
just,
hope in God.
Hope in God, which we'll review. 1 Peter 3. 1 through 6 says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart and the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God, there it is, hoped in God, used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening.
That is so good.
That is packed in there.
At our study group last night, one of the ladies said that she thinks oftentimes her challenge to obeying that text is fear.
Agreed.
And so fear and anxiety will cause you to want to override God's design and plan.
Yes.
And implement your own idea because it makes you feel like you're in control.
Yes.
And there is a huge measure of this where both husbands and wives, but particularly today for ladies,
for sure,
you will not be able to step into God's calling on your life if you're constantly trying to be in control yourself. Mm-hmm. So there's a measure of, I have to let go of the outcome, of controlling the outcome, and I have to trust the Lord right now with what he says. And without that deep root of hope, you're not going to be able to step in that role.
Yeah.
But I regret, this is your story.
Right.
Go.
So I was just going to say, as we read there, the rugged hope in God produces an inner beauty and quiet strength. That's how it's produced, right? These women didn't hope in their husbands. They didn't hope in their new hair color or style, according to what he's talking about. They didn't even hope in what they were wearing that day. They hoped in one thing only, and that was in God, right? So our relationship with Jesus as ladies cannot go through our husbands. Yep. We've talked about that. We talk about this often. You talk about the first week of the series. That was the whole thing about the law of preeminence. Yep. Was the fact that it has to start there, and whether you're married or not, your most important relationship is obviously your relationship with Jesus, right? So when you and I were first married, this was actually something that I had a difficult time with. One of the things I was drawn to you about was the fact that you had such a vibrant and incredible relationship with Jesus. Obviously, I knew I wanted a guy like that. And so that was incredibly attractive about you. I mean, that and other things, but that was one of the main things.
We'll talk about that next week.
Later. However, I think naively, I started to transfer some of my expectations onto you, especially in regards to my own spiritual growth.
Yeah.
So, which you talk about, that's one of the things that helper and biblical headship are not, is me saying, hands off, like you're everything now, you got to figure it all out yourself. And you should be leading in this area. You talked about this with headship. Obviously, you can be washing me with the word. You can be encouraging me. You can be helping point out things. But the problem was I, on my own, this happened early in our marriage, kind of started to slack on my own personal relationship with Jesus, meaning, and the way that that played out was that I wasn't prioritizing time in the word. I wasn't prioritizing time to listen to what the Lord would have to say to me personally and experience what it was, because in so doing, God wasn't really my first love, really. It's not how I was living it out. I was putting more hope in you than I was in Jesus. And just for the listening audience, like, you ain't no Jesus. So there's just that to throw out.
Guilty.
For everybody. And that's true. You're not made to carry that weight. And so that wasn't fair that I would be doing, putting on you really what felt like almost a portion of worship that was not for you. It was for the one and only priority that I was supposed to have in my life, and that was God.
That's good. Well, at that point, you're not helping, you're hindering.
That's
because
right.
you're burdening your husband with a load he can't carry, the load of worship, the load of being your source of identity.
Yep.
And there is something, again, I'll say it again, there is something remarkably attractive and challenging for a husband who looks at a wife and sees a wife who has a deep and genuine hope in God. Mm-hmm. Not intimidating. Yep. Like, oh, I can never read the Bible as much as she does, and so I won't even try.
No.
But your faith in Jesus has always brought me great comfort. When I come in the room at night, every night, and see your Bible open, your journal out, I'm like, okay, we're good. If I didn't know you were going to the Lord for your source of hope, I would probably unconsciously carry a burden that I don't have right now.
Right.
Because I would feel a sense of responsibility to carry that for you. And no man can carry that. Mm-hmm. So anyways,
you're good. No, just that, well, it's just what you were saying. That meant I need to be spending more time with Jesus, right? Yeah. Cultivating my knowledge of him, reading the word, praying, understanding his character, and then understanding who I am in Christ as a daughter of the King, right? Yep. And so, and just for mamas out there, specifically, I think of mamas of littles. Yeah, this part here. I understand it can be really challenging because I've been there and I remember what those days were like.
Yeah.
But you would be surprised at the kind of moments you can find in your day for you to cultivate this hope in God attitude and heart posture. Everything from listening to music that feeds your soul during the day to putting verses on the mirror so that you see them when you're running through. Yep. If you take a second to look at yourself, reading scripture over your little ones, praying for them, reading the Bible with them, reading their Bible stories with them.
Yeah.
I just would encourage all the mamas who are listening, like, do your best to fill your mind and heart with these things that remind you where your hope lies.
Amen.
Don't get caught up in looking other places thinking you're going to find hope there. You just, it's always an empty well.
Yep.
It's never going to fill.
That's good, babe.
And so I know it's hard, but you can practice being in the presence of the Father and his love for you and be reminded of his hope that he gives you. And so I just want to encourage those young mamas. And also, I was thinking about this the other day. Also, if you're in a season of like caring for elderly parents, like there's this pendulum swing and we're not there yet. But I have heard.
Sometimes I think we're closer than we think.
I know.
Dad.
But I've heard many people say that it feels a little like they're back to caring for children.
Yes.
And so I think it has some similar weight and pull. And so I guess my encouragement to them would be actually similar practical ideas apply.
Yeah.
Like do your best to make sure you are filling your mind and heart in the moments that you have.
Yep.
With the things that remind you of where your hope lies.
That's good,
and
babe.
So it goes both ways.
That's good.
So, yeah, there you go.
So that's H, hope in God.
That's H.
E.
E.
Encourages her man with truth.
Yeah.
Encourage.
Encourage.
And I'm going to take this one because mm-hmm. I've been the recipient of it. So
that sounds good.
Ladies, there's nothing on earth like the encouragement from a wife to a husband. Don't underestimate the power of your words mm-hmm. in the life of your husband. You can speak destiny into his life.
That's right.
Conversely, you can tear him down with your words so that he'll never want to stand and lead again. Mm-hmm. Build up, don't tear down in front of others, in front of your kids. You're his woman and he's your man. I literally talked to a husband who's like, okay, what do I do? We sat through the sermon on how to be a helper and I was so encouraged and we drove home and on the way home, she's criticizing me and tearing me down in front of our kids. It's embarrassing for the man. It's crippling for the man.
Yeah.
And he's stuck. Mm. If he responds with his masculine strength, it looks like he's abusive. If he doesn't respond, it looks like he's rolling over. It puts the husband in a really hard place. And so it requires a lot of godliness and Spirit's help to respond firmly and say, babe, I love you. Do this gently. When you do that, it undermines my leadership with the kids. It makes me want to crawl in a hole and never come out again. So again, this is the part of that power that a wife can wield in a devastatingly destructive way.
Yeah.
And so E is for encourage your man. Here's a couple. I'm just going to read some texts that I've gotten from you over the years.
Oh, yes.
Is that okay?
That is one way that I do that.
Yep. You have the gift of encouragement. Mm-hmm. And I think it is a part of, I don't think, women should step into that more. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
But you encourage me with text. It's funny, in our city group last night, we keep referring to our city group, but we live in community. And so we talk about these things,
and we
all want to push each other toward growing better. So it's like Pastor Josh and Sharon are in a community group with other husbands and wives of like mind, and we invite other people in as well.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, unbelievers. We love having unbelievers in the group, and we're pushing each other to grow. That's one of the ways we grow. It's like you don't just arrive at maturity. You got to push there.
That's right.
With people going in the same direction.
Yeah.
So like if biblical maturity, if spiritual maturity is like a hike.
Yeah.
If you go on the hike with people who want to go, let's go over here. Let's go down to the river. Let's go play in the mud hole.
Right.
Let's go down and roll around in the feces. It's like you'll never get to the top.
Right.
So a little plug for biblical community there. Put yourself around people who are hiking in the same direction. Like we have awesome couples we're with right now.
Yeah.
Here's some texts you've sent me. Thanks, babe, for all you do for me and our family. There are so many other things you could be doing with your time, your brain, your talent today, but instead you continue to provide, plan, strategize, invest, and love me and our children extremely well. Thank you for thinking ahead, researching, learning, following through, networking, listening, inquiring, and so on and so forth. I cannot express what a comfort that is for me, how cared for and loved it makes me feel. Just another one of the thousands of reasons I love you and look forward to 2016 with you. Thank you, love. You wrote that to me at the beginning of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you do this every week. Those are just random examples. Yeah. Another one. Love you, babe. Praying for you today for health, stamina, and endurance, for insight and energy. The enemy isn't happy for sure. No surprise at the amount of sickness, craziness, and division you're experiencing. Praying for the Lord's work to take place despite all the stuff. Praying fervently for you, darling, as you lead the charge today. Hoo-ah. When your wife says hoo-ah,
little prayer warrior.
It's going to be a good
little
day.
Little warrior language for you.
Another one is praying for you, love, as I sit here with the crew, praying for energy and endurance as you go through your day, praying for wisdom as you lead all these pastors, that they would see Jesus even in the midst of all the chaos. We are all good here. Amelia is going to try some lessons next week when she's getting better sleep and we aren't away for the whole day before. Ella is studying and loves it up here. I love you, babe, and we'll be praying for you. That's just an example of little updates that you give me about the family throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And last one, first of all, honey, I love you. I'm constantly amazed at your leadership abilities and crystal clear insights in the midst of chaos. It's a beautiful thing to watch. And I wanted to share a couple of thoughts before I drift off to sleep again. Don't want to forget them. Can't trudge back upstairs. Don't want to interrupt your time with Carrie. You sent me this a few weeks ago. I was meeting with my brother in a long meeting, trying to fix stuff, and you were going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I agree we should not make any quick decisions right now, especially with you in your flu-like fog. I'm sure we will need to make a decision soon, and that's understandable given the people we are working with here. Number two, I will be and already am praying for the Lord to direct us during this time. Although we sometimes feel small and insignificant, which we are, the Lord has given you an influence on others that will result in a host of people watching how we handle this hilarity in a godly manner, and they'll be taking notes. So how we respond matters. Number three, I love you. Please get some rest. I'm sorry I tuckered out on you. I couldn't stay awake any longer. And frankly, the drama is so sadly familiar, it's a little tiresome for me. Same song, different verse. Wish it weren't so. Take some ibuprofen, but if you take NyQuil, do not take any Tylenol with it. It already has some in it. This is where it's nice to be married to a nurse. If you didn't marry a nurse, well, that's your fault.
I love that. I love you. I'm praying for you. Don't take the wrong drugs.
Yeah, totally.
After I'm asleep.
Yeah. I'm drifting off now, not worried, not stressed, not anxious. Jesus is doing a work here at Grace City in people's lives. Let's kill it here in our marriage and family first. Let's be great parents and amazing lovers and servant leaders for a long time together. I love you. Now, you sent that to me in the midst of a firestorm a few weeks ago. And I'm telling you, that puts a lot of gas in the tank of a dude. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, hoo-yah, well, or hoorah.
Hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah, hoo-yah.
You know what's something that's funny?
That's yee-haw and hoorah. Hoo-ah.
That's hoo-ah. Yeah, Grace City style. It's interesting to hear those again because each of them, I actually use the word chaos in every single one of those texts.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of times I increase the amount of encouragement and verbal affirmation to you in the midst of crazy.
Yep.
Because one, it's good for my own heart because it reminds me of what's true. That's like half the time I'm preaching to myself in those.
Yep.
I'm not worried. I'm not stressed. I hope in God that that helps you because it's encouraging you. You hear, oh yeah, you're good. I'm not going, babe, oh my word, what's going to happen? I'm so worried. I'm reminding myself, but I'm also encouraging you and reminding you of what we know to be true. Because often in the middle of the crazy stuff, that's when you don't have time to connect with. It's when you don't have time to, I mean, all those texts, I'm going to sleep. You're still up fighting, fighting dragons.
Like ships in the night. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so it's like, man, for the ladies, you know, when things get harder, it's like, ooh, communicate more.
Yep.
Like articulate more what you're learning.
That's good.
What the Lord has been teaching you in those moments.
That's good.
Start sharing more what God has helped. That shouldn't be intimidating to your husband. That should be wildly comforting.
Yes.
As the helper.
Yes.
And so I'd never thought of that before. But all of those were in the middle of crazy situations that
attack.
Were really hard and difficult where I could have been tempted to fear.
Yep.
Be lost in fear. And my text would have read different.
Yes.
If I was writing from a place of fear.
Yes.
Things like, have you thought of this? What about this? Is this person okay? How about that? Did you take care of this? Like, how stressful for you if that was my heart posture and response in the middle of the crazy. So anyway, I hadn't thought about that before.
That was really good.
Just a thought.
I think the point you're making that I agree with 100% is the harder and crazy and more busy life goes, the more you need to ratchet down on doing the basics.
That's right.
So it's not, I have a hair in my glasses.
Okay.
What a rough episode.
I feel like.
Plugged nose and wild hairs. Apologize to the watching audience. That's right. Makeup.
Oh, wait. We don't have that.
Seriously, I have like a hair in my eye.
I'm sorry.
A haircut. Christy. Yeah. So here's the point that you're drawing out that I want to just put a point on.
Yes.
The crazier life gets, the faster the pace of life goes, the busier you become, the more attack that you're under, the more you need to focus on doing the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get caught up in a tizzy and slow down and do the basics. Communicate, talk, make love. Mm-hmm. Make sure there's time for each other. Pray together.
Bible.
Read your Bible. So what we talk about, the hotter things run, the cooler we get.
That's right.
So our family knows that. And so like we're coming up on a crazy week or crazy 10 days, we'll sit our kids down. Okay, crazy's coming, but we're excited because there's lots of gospel opportunities here. We're hosting pastors in our home. Mm-hmm. We're running a conference. Stuff going on. And so when things get more intense, we slow down to be more intentional.
That's right.
So the more intense life gets, the more intentional we become in doing the basics. And then guess what? In the intensity, in the chaos and craziness, we get better.
That's right.
Because we're moving closer to Jesus. And so rather than viewing an intense season or a busy season as distracting you from Jesus. Yeah. It actually becomes a means of grace that moves us towards Jesus.
Yeah.
And so if you're being intentional in the intensity, you're actually going to grow. Mm-hmm. So I just affirm that in you. Thank you, honey, for your encouragement over the years. That's been a remarkable means of heaven's grace to me. Mm-hmm. I read three or four text messages. You've sent me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Yeah. And that means more to me than you could possibly know. So thank you.
Yep.
I love you.
Thanks.
You're a good encourager.
Well, and that made me think too, just practically, some gals might be listening and be like, yeah, I don't have the gift of encouragement. I can't write well. I'm not natural that way. Grab the Psalms and write those to your husband.
Yeah.
Like, there's a way to encourage him and pray for him and speak the gospel truth that's found in the scriptures. Yep. Just copy a portion of scripture to him that you're reading. That will also communicate to him you're going to the right place.
Yes.
And that you believe in him. You may not have all the words you want to say or the right LY adverbs with the whatever. And so that it comes off, that's not the point.
Yeah.
And you may feel like you don't have the gift of encouragement, but also not the point.
Yeah.
You can go to the word, it's there.
That's
and you
good.
Can just copy and paste and send that to your man. And that will provide encouragement for his soul too.
I mean, oftentimes you're like, hey, babe, here's what God's been teaching me lately. I thought to encourage you.
Yeah.
And then you send it to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so good. I needed that today. I love a wife who's digging and growing and learning. And thank you, Lord, for, and it calls out in me greatness because I want to be a better leader.
That's right.
When I see how you're living. So
that's good.
Thanks, babe. You're a really good helper.
Thank you.
You're a good helper.
You're sweet.
Wow.
Okay. Number three. So we did H, E, and this is L.
H is hoping in God.
Yes.
E is encouraging your man.
L, lavish. Great word. Lavish your man.
Okay.
So I'm going to start this one a little bit differently because, well, what I thought of when I think of the word lavish, I'm a little competitive, like we've already talked about. Just a smidge. I think I'm getting better, but I am pretty competitive.
No, you're not
and
better.
As I thought about the role of helper and what it means to lavish your man with love, which is where I'm going with this, my mind went to like this awesome feeling I used to feel when I was on the starting line before the hurdles. And you're just like so excited and you're nervous, but you're pumped and it's just an amazing feeling. And you feel like I'm ready. Like I have what it takes. Like I want to outdo my man in loving him is kind of how I was viewing this.
Okay. See?
And so, competitive
men
outdoing.
Marry
of
a competitive woman.
Who wants to beat you in loving you.
I bet I could initiate sex more than you could.
That's right.
Just fire that up.
There you go.
Oh, yeah?
I love it. That's a great idea. We should. Okay. Anyway, but for the ladies, all of this does start for us in our head, right?
Yeah.
You can't love your man lavishly and meet his physical needs for love without using your mind.
Okay.
In the words of our great parents, your parents, my in-laws, they say a woman's most powerful asset in loving her man is her brain, which is one of my favorite things and has been very helpful for me in our 23 years of marriage.
Okay.
So I have to say this, ladies, you need to get your head in the game. Is what I need to say.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a battle every day for your man's sexual attention and affections, and we must live so that he is riveted on us, his wife.
Okay. So you're talking about lavish your man with affection. You're talking like...
I'm talking love here.
Sexual... Well, not love, like sexual...
Yes.
The eros kind of love.
Correct. That's correct.
The sexual attention, the sexual...
Because this is definitely a way that you are a helper. I mean, that's the whole point.
You definitely helped me out in that department.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Because in this world, we live in a continually bombarded
place. We're going to get kicked place off of where... the podcast talking about all these.
Well, it's okay. It's good stuff. The Lord made it.
Taylor Swift can write garbage about it. We can talk about it.
Stop saying her name. She doesn't need to. It's okay. She doesn't need to be here. So in this world, we are
I doubt me saying her name is going to bump her ratings. I think she's doing pretty good.
Okay.
Stadium's full of people. She's fine.
This is actually perfect because I was just going to say the world, our men are visually bombarded by stimuli.
Yes.
How funny that we just talked about that.
Yes.
That seeks to lure our men away, right?
Right.
From what he has at home. And so here's what I mean. The culture has declared war on one of the most precious things that we have in our marriage. And we as women can help protect our men from daily attacks by loving him lavishly.
Let's go.
That's true. So
let's go.
Where do you start?
Here.
Yay. First place we start actually is praying for wisdom from the Lord. Oh,
that's great. Keep going.
That was a terrible response.
No, prayer's good. I'm totally prayer.
Believe me, you want the women to start with prayer.
Yes, we do. Yes.
Because they need to pray for wisdom from the Lord so that they could love their man.
That reminded me, not to interrupt you, somebody gave us a question, we didn't answer it. They're like, do we have to pray every time before, we're Christians now, do we have to pray every time before we have sex? It totally kills the mood.
Yeah.
So we'll answer that question later. That's what I was thinking.
That's for another funny. Time. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Don't come out in the bounce chicka wow outfit and be like,
let's pray.
Let's pray. And husband would be like, really?
I don't know. Anyway, think about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Where was I? I was trying to read and stay on track.
Did I get you flustered?
I'm not. No, you interrupted me. So, okay. But it's all good.
You said start with prayer.
I said start with prayer because the only way. Get your mind right. Because the only way you're going to be able to love your man the way God intended is with his help. Okay. I mean, period.
There you go.
Because God has called women to meet this need in their husband. This is the woman's honor. No other person, thing, or object can legitimately meet the God-given physical need that your husband has.
Yes.
And I would argue that it is a God-given need and something that God put into men. He gave it to them so they'd keep coming back to us as the wife, right?
Which we do.
For covenant renewal, which is what we call it in our conference. So I would encourage the ladies, don't despise it. Don't make him feel guilty for it. Embrace it as the gift that it is. It is not perverse. It is a gift. This is a God-given need at the top of his list, and it is a very good thing, and you are the one to meet it. So you should be, and God can help you be, an attentive, creative, and intentional lover. I also want to say this cannot be used to manipulate or punish the husband. We're talking about her power.
Okay.
Women have an amazing amount of power in this area, and we know it. To withhold it from him, to punish him, or control him, I believe is a sin. Absolutely.
Wow.
And in doing so, you will make him more vulnerable to other attacks and temptations of the enemy. Obviously, our husbands are responsible for their choices and their decisions, but God will also hold you responsible for your helper versus hinderer role.
Yeah.
This is one of the ways. Do you help or do you hinder in this area of your relationship, of your marriage?
Yep.
Because you are the one who's called to be the lover of your husband. And in one way that you can help them is in this area.
Yep.
So some people are like, ah, Sharon, easier said than done, right? Mm-hmm. For sure. I've had many conversations with many women for this reason or that. What we are saying here sounds downright impossible, right?
Yeah.
And there's a wide variety of experiences regarding this topic, like the season you're in or past abuse or past sin. A lot of pain is surrounding this challenge of intimacy in marriage.
Yeah.
And I know that past sin that has been done to us or that we've done makes it incredibly pain-filled and guilt-ridden. But for many women, it's become Satan's playground. Like he's just crippled this. I the amount of couples that we've talked to where this area is so profoundly broken and they don't want to ask for help or they don't know what to do and they think maybe it's normal or that it's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal.
Yeah.
When I say the enemy's playground, because the amount of helping that you can provide as a woman who is sexually open to her husband and being the lover that she's designed to be, man, you can conquer a lot of things together and encourage your husband in that way. So like I said, you got to start with prayer, if we're just talking about practically, and asking the Heavenly Father to help you, because I think a lot of women need to realize what it actually is to be loved first and understand that they are loved truly by the Father, resting in his grace and mercy and his beautiful and sacrificial and unmerited and unending love. And then ask him to change your view of sex. Some women, like we've talked before, gross, right? Or gift. So some women need an absolute change back to your mind again, the renewing of your mind with what is true and right. And you may need to find some help for resources, which we can make some of those available, or even get some counseling for extreme circumstances, because this is a really big deal.
Yep.
But ask God to change your heart and renew your mind. Start there.
Yeah.
I think some women are like, oh yeah, no, it's just like, I don't like it. You know, the world says it's just for the dudes and that's just how it is. Oh, no, I would argue back. That's not true.
Yeah.
That's not how God designed it.
Yeah.
Originally, it was for the husband and the wife, like we said, for covenant renewal.
Yeah.
And I would encourage the ladies, this is war.
Yeah.
Do not let yourself get beat on this. Don't let your past or your fears or your shortcomings or even your anxieties or your comparisons stop you from living into this role as a helper who loves her husband lavishly.
Yeah.
Because the Lord is capable. He can heal and he can enable you to be the amazing and attentive lover that you have to be for your man.
Yep.
So there you go.
Well said, babe. I'm going to talk about this in this next week's sermon, The Law of Pleasure.
Which is why I didn't go any further in there, too, because we're going to talk more about
super
it.
Good. So, but if you're listening here, you can go check out the next sermon, The Law of Pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about God's perspective and view on sexuality and marriage. It's incredibly wonderful.
Yeah.
In fact, one of your values, in the values that we built together is lover.
And, yes.
And I think it says something to the effect of, I want to be...
woman of godly, modest beauty in the marketplace, mm-hmm. and a force for sexual power in the bedroom.
Something to that state.
Something to that
That's
effect.
That's correct.
And you
That's
wrote
right.
that value, I was like...
Competitive.
Spirit-filled. Thank you, spirit-filled. Jesus.
Yeah. That's right.
You're an amazing lover, babe. So,
it's good.
H, hope in God.
Yep.
E, encourage your man with truth. L, lavish your man with affection. Mm-hmm. P, pray for your man with conviction.
Mm-hmm.
That's you.
Yeah. For years, I would write down, especially when we were early married, I would write down one of my goals. I need to pray for Josh more. Yep. I really wanted to. I'm like, yeah, I'm called to pray for him and encourage him this way.
Yep.
But years would go by and I just would like totally fail. I mean, just like not, sorry, busy, forget. Not that I don't think about you during the day, but apparently I wasn't.
You had a few things going.
Yeah. And so I started using my phone technology, the tool, for setting my reminder to pay a bill or call somebody back or, you know, something to that effect. And I was like, oh, duh. Why don't I set a reminder to pray for my husband?
Yes.
Like, because when your phone goes off, you're like, oh, what is that? Like, we're just glued to him, whatever. And so I set my alarm to go off at 4:15.
Yeah.
Every day. And I started that a really long time ago, actually. Yeah. I think we're going on like 8-9 years that I've been doing that. And I didn't just pick a random time. So for women, think strategically about what your husband does. For me, I was like 4:15. That's like, woo, he's had a long day at this point, but he still has a little bit more usually.
Yep.
So I felt like it was a pretty strategic time to be stopping to pray for you. And at first I was kind of embarrassed because I was like, oh, I can't believe I have a reminder on my phone to pray for my husband. Yeah. Like, I feel like I should just have this figured out.
Yeah.
But then I would like look forward to like that little chime when it goes off at 4:15 and the reminder. And actually so did our kids because I started this long ago when they were small.
Yes.
And so it was pretty common occurrence for my phone to start buzzing.
Common what?
Occurrence. did I say something else?
They said common curds.
Curds?
Yeah, I just misunderstood you.
Yeah, no. Occurrence.
Yes.
It was a common occurrence that the alarm would go off and like one or all four of the kids would be like, Mom, it's time to pray for Dad. And so it was just awesome. Like this. It was great. And oftentimes I'd be like, yeah, let's stop and do it right now. And we homeschooled. So a lot of times it was in the middle of a homeschool day or on the way to a practice or a piano lesson or something. And so I would just say, hey, let's pray. Dad's probably in the middle of a meeting or he's got something going on difficult today. Let's pray for Dad.
Yeah.
And this has been really beneficial, I think, for us. And it's hard to know the extent that the Lord has used it, I think. But I was going to say, too, something I have seen you... Oh, no, this was for the other part. I'm going to save that for later.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I would also use this situation of praying for you in moments when I would see something come up that I thought maybe I wanted to address.
Okay.
Or maybe that I felt like I needed to talk to you about later.
Yeah.
And the Lord has... had convicted me early on, I have to start by praying about it and praying for you.
Okay.
And we have seen multiple instances where instead of me jumping all over on something, like the minute I think about it or the minute it comes to mind or this bugs me or that's a bummer. Now, if it's a sin issue, we don't let those lie.
Right.
But I'm talking about maybe just something that I thought, oh, I think it could have been done different or I don't know if I really totally agreed with that.
Right.
I start by praying about it.
Okay.
And the Lord has really convicted me that the first place I go is to be praying.
Yes.
And sometimes praying that you would understand that it was wrong.
Yes.
Or praying.
The Sikkim prayer.
Yes, a
Get
little
him,
bit.
Lord.
And sometimes that prayer changed my heart.
Yes.
And the Lord revealed to me areas that I was lacking.
Yep.
And other times the Lord used that prayer and me taking a moment and not running over you or going off my first impulse, which coming back to what we said earlier, was often fear, actually, because that was definitely where I would land.
Yes.
And I would respond out of fear.
Yep.
Instead of responding out of fear, I would pray and I would ask the Lord to help. You see something for what I thought it might be.
Yep.
And if it wasn't the case for him to change my own heart. I mean, so when we talk about women being warriors, it's like, oh, part of that is being a prayer warrior.
Yes.
Like praying for your husband to either see something for there to be some change.
Yep.
Obviously, checking your own heart first. But there have been plenty of times where I kind of wanted to speak my mind.
Yep.
And the Lord was like, no, I'm the one that does the convicting and I'm the one that's going to do the correcting in this instance.
Yep.
And so part of my praying for you often is, whew, okay, Lord, this is hard. Help him with that. Help him see this. And if not, help me to change.
Yep. That's good. So I'm hearing you say you pray to encourage.
Yep.
You pray to strengthen and then you pray to make sure that what you're seeing in him that you want to help, that you're not misreading something. Lord, can give you insight there.
Yeah.
And then if you're right, with Jesus on your side, you're asking Jesus to change him.
That's right.
Not you to change him. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
You sent me a text. I have a text here in my notes. Mm. Jesus, be with my man today. Strengthen him, fill him, because I know he feels like he is running on empty. Let him rely on you and your strength and not his own. Be with his mind that he would be sharp. Be with his heart that it would stay tender. Be with his body that it would stay healthy. Be in his words that they would be helpful. Be with his spirit that it would be patient. Be his strength today, Father, his shield, his rock, his fortress, his provider, his protector, his help. Thank you, Jesus. And heal that arm, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you, babe. That's when I hurt my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, ladies, you get a text prayer like that from your wife, and it makes you a better man.
Mm-hmm.
It opens your heart
to
God. It opens your heart to your wife. Sharon helps me love Jesus better.
Mm-hmm.
You help me love Jesus better by hoping in God yourself, by encouraging me with truth, by lavishing me with affection, and then by praying for me.
That's
right. I love you for that, babe.
Yep.
And I'm grateful.
Yep.
I'm grateful. Okay. E, empowering her man with confidence.
Yes. So often you get up and hammer on the guys, which is good. We love that. We call them out and they lead and love and serve and protect. So we're all about Strong Man Nation, which is amazing. Like I said last week, I want to make sure the women here, ladies, are we stepping up?
Yeah.
Are we doing our job? Which we've talked about, I think, pretty extensively.
Yep.
But how are we doing as living out our roles as helper and nurturer and maker and lover in our marriage?
Yep.
Is our man thriving? Is he living out the full potential of his headship, right?
Yep.
Is he failing? He is obviously ultimately responsible for his actions, but we have to specifically look at how we are living out our role as helper. I feel like we've talked about this, but this is a part of this acronym. Like we absolutely have to look at how we are empowering, using that God-given power to help our men.
Yep.
Like I said, and like we've said before, have we ever considered, ladies, that one of the reasons our men aren't thriving as the head is because we aren't thriving as a helper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we can often so easily point at the men to blame, right?
Yep.
For their failures. Right. But here's the thing. God knew that guys are going to fail. God knows we're going to fail. But he gave you this helper that we talk about. And so when our men fail, it's not just an indictment on their leadership, but on the helper they were actually given.
Yep.
So that's why, are we respecting? Are we encouraging? Are we praying? Are we forgiving? I wanted to look a little about Ephesians, which is what I've talked about before, but Ephesians 4, it's not a specific marriage text, but I think it is a specific holiness text and the call to us. So I'll just read it real quick.
Okay.
So Ephesians 4, 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.
Yeah.
And something I love about that is a great barometer for me is, okay, ladies, for all of us, do you treat others with more respect than your husband?
Yeah.
Do you forgive others quickly, but not your husband? Do you extend grace to others, but hold your husband to some other unseen higher standard?
Yeah.
The load that our men carry is really great, right? And you're going to make mistakes, right? And so will I.
Yes.
But the Lord has given us this unique role to help. So we need the Lord to change our hearts, our actions, our words. We're not weak and needy. We're not a doormat. We're not a slanderer. We are not trying to vie for his leadership. Instead, we are to be, like it says here, kind, tenderhearted, giving grace with words that are helpful, forgiving as God in Christ forgave you.
That's good.
So this isn't about being a good wife. This is actually about us growing and being spirit-filled, maturing followers of Christ, because that's the first thing we need to be.
Yep.
And as the Lord does that work in our heart first, then we can grow more in our ability to empower our husbands as we grow in that.
Awesome,
yeah. Anything you want to share there?
Nope.
Add?
I think we've talked.
We talked about that quite a bit.
About that,
right? Yeah. So
last one. So hope, H is hope in God. E is encourage your man with truth.
Mm-hmm.
L is lavish your man with affection. P is pray for him with conviction.
Mm-hmm.
E is empower him with confidence, and then R is respect him with honor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll speak to this because honor and respect is a husband's mega need.
That's right.
He starves for those things, and men gravitate to places where they get gratitude and respect, and they shy away or run from places or people where they don't get it.
Yeah.
I've said this many times before. I've talked with many, we got to wrap this up so I can blow my nose.
Yes, lots of
men. Many men
mm-hmm.
who have shattered their marriage vows by committing adultery.
Yeah.
And I have lost track of the men who have said it was not about an uncontrollable sex drive.
Right.
It was about me needing respect and honor, mm-hmm. and I was starved for it, like
right.
oxygen, and I was not getting it from a critical wife.
Yes.
And a woman at the office offered it for me, and yeah. I was just like helpless.
No, right.
They're not helpless.
No.
They're moral agents responsible for their actions and
yeah.
sin before God, 1,000%.
Yeah.
And this is where a wife can, this is light the internet on fire, make her husband vulnerable when she's not serving his needs sexually,
yeah.
and when she's not empowering him and encouraging him, and when she's not lavishing him with truth, and when she's withholding the kind of respect and honor he needs. Now,
yeah.
her argument is, well, he's not respectful or honorable.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
No man is fully.
Right.
So find an area where he is and honor him there, and
yeah.
then watch that bleed over into other areas of his life.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you waited to honor and respect me until I was completely respectable and honorable in all areas of life, I would have never gotten it. Yeah.
Still be waiting.
We're going to wait a long time. And so it's your respecting me and honoring me
yes.
where you see God at work. And this is part of the affirmation piece we talk about so often,
mm-hmm.
is learn to be a good agent of affirmation in the life of your spouse.
Encourage. Mm-hmm.
So that you're, yeah, the encourage piece.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you see God do something, however small it is, feed that
mm-hmm.
Grace with fuel
yes.
and God will grow it.
Yeah,
you can actually hinder, thwart, and shut off the work of God in your husband's life
yeah.
if you're constantly showering him with toxic poison criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or conversely, you can fertilize and encourage the work of God in
yes.
your husband's life by affirming where you see God at work. And so it's not,
yeah.
we're not talking about, what's the word for shallow compliments?
Flattery.
Thank mm-hmm. you. We're not looking for talking about flattery here. We're mm-hmm. not saying, oh, you're such a good so-and-so. It's just hot air.
Right.
It's like, no, genuinely look for areas you can genuinely, with integrity, affirm him in.
Yes.
And I'm telling you,
yeah.
that will grow.
Yeah.
So you can either affirm God's work of grace and have it spread in his life,
yeah.
or you can highlight his failures and watch that failure metastasize in his life.
That's right. That's good.
So you can either spread life or death
mm-hmm.
with your giving or withholding of respect and honor.
Mm-hmm.
That's a significant power that God's given a wife in the life of her husband.
Yeah. Helper
or hinderer.
What are you
that's
doing?
Right.
That's right.
That's like a little jingle.
A what?
Jiggle. Jiggle is what I do more of now that I'm getting older. Jingle was what I was thinking of. A little jingle.
Helper or hinderer.
You're
going to write a song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Land a plane.
No.
Four things that your respect does.
Mm.
Let him fail. Don't mother him.
Yeah.
So not speaking of self-destructive behavior,
right.
but let your husband fail. A lot of damage can be done in a marriage if a woman does not let her husband make mistakes, but rather tries to mother him.
Yes.
We've talked about this. It's like,
yes.
honey, like
yeah.
mother the kids, not your husband.
Yeah.
Number two.
Which often women do that out of fear. Back to that whole fear thing.
Yeah.
A lot of women's attempt to control and not let their husband make a decision
yeah.
and move forward
yeah.
and show him respect
yeah.
is out of fear.
Well, and, yeah.
Brutal.
And, yeah. That's good. It's like, well, he acts like a 9-year-old. It's because you treat him like a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's going to rise to the level that you treat him.
There you go.
Number two,
yeah.
confront your husband, but let God be the enforcer.
That's right.
You're his equal. You can tell him anything you want, but mm-hmm. let God be the enforcer. Tell mm-hmm. him the truth, then get in your prayer closet and tell God to go get him.
That's right.
You can change his heart without verbally assaulting him.
This is true.
It's mm-hmm. the quiet and gentle spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you become aggressive is probably because of fear
and control.
that you're speaking to.
I agree.
My husband's going to get something wrong and I got to stop it.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, honor him where you want him to be, not where he currently is.
Mm-hmm.
This is huge.
Yes.
And hard.
Yes.
Men become great in an atmosphere of honor.
Yes.
We love it. We crave it. When you honor your husband beyond where he's at, he will rise to the level mm-hmm. of your respect.
Mm-hmm.
Speak destiny into his life. What did you see in him when you were dating?
Mm.
What did you see in him that drew you to him?
Right.
Speak that into his life. Like, you married him.
Yeah.
What did you see in him that caused you to want to be with him?
Right.
go back to that, harken back to that, that man can still be in there.
Yeah.
Maybe buried in her sin and mistakes and failure or insecurity or arrogance or pride or whatever. Mm. That's why you go to the Lord, you pray to the Lord, sick the Lord on him, and then you step into the role of honoring, because it's so true. Men thrive in a culture of honor, and they shrivel in a culture of criticism.
That's right.
Lastly, cover his faults and focus on his strengths. The devil is the accuser of the brethren, and that's all he does, constantly accuse. Yeah. And that's what he wants us to do, constantly think of the negative things. Mm-hmm. Do not do that,
that's
wives.
Right.
Men want a thankful wife. Build him up. You have power, ladies, here. Mm-hmm. Cover his faults. Don't let it be self-destructive. I'm not saying don't focus on them.
We've been clear on that.
Yeah, don't make them... What I'm saying is don't focus on his faults. Don't make them the center piece of your life, and don't trot it out for everyone else to see. Don't talk about it with your girlfriends. Don't talk about it with the kids. Mm-hmm. Don't cover for his sins, but don't reveal all of his faults.
Yeah, those are different.
So don't cover his sin, but don't reveal or revel in his faults. Mm-hmm. That will not build him up or strengthen your marriage. It will tear it down.
Yeah.
So let him fail. Confront your husband, but let God be the enforcer. Honor him where you want him to be, not where he is, and cover his faults and focus on his strengths. And those are four practical ways you can respect your man. The last big idea is when a noble woman wields her God-given power to respect and honor her husband, that marriage will inevitably grow stronger, even if the husband doesn't want it to, because he can't resist how God's made him to work.
Yeah.
And when a wife steps into this, boy, it will move the needle in the life of her husband.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
Thanks for being an awesome wife and helpmate. Just to honor you with our listeners today. Mm. You're an incredible helper. You live these things out every day. And I'm here to bear witness to all the ladies listening that when a woman lives like this, it will make your man want to be better. So thanks, babe.
Yep. Love you.
I love you too. All right. Hey everyone, Pastor Josh here. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate the podcast, review, follow, and share to help keep unwoke, uncensored, straight talk Bible teaching coming to you for free.